I'm in Toronto, have been here since Tuesday, and will be leaving on Monday back to Hungary. Originally I was scheduled to stay until the weekend and go for the Holy Name Festival in New Vrindavan, but there's too much going on, time won't permit me to go, so I'm both leaving Toronto early and not going for that scheduled trip over there, much as I would like to chant Hare Krishna with the devotees. Today I want to speak about a topic that I really get asked a lot about in person, on internet, in letters, and the question goes like this. Devotees say, why is it that after a few years in Krishna consciousness, or maybe even many years in Krishna consciousness, when I sit down and chant japa, then my mind wanders after a few minutes, after 10 minutes, and I have to bring it back, and then again it wanders. And then the devotee continues. I know that we're meant to persevere and stick at it, and that ultimately we'll bring our mind under control. But is there anything else that you can say? And there is something that I would like to say aside from what I and others always say, is that yes, it's a process of constant effort, of sticking to bringing the mind under control, because as long as the heart is not pure, the mind will not be attracted to Krishna and the Holy Name. Therefore, we have to make an effort to control the mind. Keeping the mind under control is at least the minimum standard of success that a devotee needs to advance forward in Krishna consciousness. When the mind is out of control, then one is really in very dangerous waters. So, but is bringing the mind under control and keeping it under control something that's just meant to be practiced in those two and a half hours that we're chanting japa? So what I want to concentrate upon is no, it's not just that time that devotees need to control their minds, and it's just not during that time that they should look for a solution to their problems. But what about the other 22 hours of the day? What about during Mangalartik? What are we thinking about at that time? What about when we're cooking for the deities? What about when we're going out on Sankirtan? What about when we're doing the accounting or preaching or you name it, so many different activities, what to speak of when one's in one's workplace? Is our mind really under control? Am I either thinking of Krishna, absorbed in my work, or at least make sure that my mind isn't distracted and going off to some type of sensory gratification, that I'm not listening to some type of mundane music, I'm not engaged in prajalpa and frivolous activities? Because if I am, if my mind is not under control under these 22 hours, then why should I expect that it will come under control under that too? When we're talking about yoga, we're talking about bhakti yoga, yoga indriya samyama. It means yoga means constantly practicing to bring the mind and senses under control. If our mind is not under control and we're not practicing to bring it under control most of the day, then how would we expect that all of a sudden it's going to come under control when we're chanting japa, just because we happen to be chanting japa? Of course, certainly chanting Hare Krishna has the power to bring the mind under control, and that is what we're attempting to do, at least one of the things we're attempting to do during our japa period. But that effort is really undermined if during the rest of the day we're not making that effort to do that, and we're letting our mind run free. It's like a parent who sends his child to an educational institution, expecting his children to be properly reared in the school, but the other 18 hours a day when he's at home, the child's allowed to run around like a wild animal. Why blame it on the school that you're not teaching my children manners and so on? If you want them to learn manners and you want them to be well behaved, then whatever they're teaching at school, you have to be also teaching them at home. However they're controlling the child at school, you have to be doing that at home. In the same way, in the school of Japa, whatever is going on there, the same type of stuff has to be going on in the other activities, non-Japa activities of being at home. Then you're actually getting the maximum out of Krishna consciousness. And then we're actually able to go forward so that when we're actually sitting down before the mirror of our Japa period, and then just meditating and focusing, it's not just simply a struggle to do something that I haven't done all day long, but actually it's reaping the benefits of those activities which I've been performing during the day. So Vaishnavas should keep in mind that the offenses to the holy name do not relate to simply during the time of chanting japa, do not relate to simply during the activities of chanting Hare Krishna, but they relate to all activities of devotional service throughout all parts of the day. If we therefore want to really get the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, if we really want to be yogis, then we have to make a concentrated effort to fix our mind on our service, on Krishna, or if we're in the workplace, at least keep our minds detached from gross sensual activities and superfluous activities that don't directly relate to our line of work. Don't indulge in frivolous talk. Don't indulge in letting the mind wander. Don't indulge in looking twice at some kind of lusty advertisement. What to speak of going on the internet and looking at something either silly or erotic. Don't, as Srila Prabhupada would say, pour water on the fire. If you want to light fire during your japa period, don't pour water on that fire during the rest of the day. And therefore, returning back to the original question, if after many years there's still so much of a struggle in terms of keeping the mind under control and chanting Hare Krishna nicely, then certainly look at the quality of your japa and see how you're doing that. But look outside of the japa period. Look at the other aspects of devotional service. Look at the other aspects of your life and see how well you're controlling your mind and senses then. We're meant to be practicing bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga isn't an issue of simply having a devotee, wearing a sikha, and so on. It's a matter of practicing the essence of yoga, and the essence of yoga is self-control. Granted, the self-control of the bhakti yogi is different than that of the ashtanga yogi and the gyani, but still the minimum must be there, and that minimum is called focusing your mind, restraining your senses, accepting that which is favorable for Krishna, rejecting those things which are unfavorable. These are basic elements of Krishna consciousness that we can't avoid, and we need to be sure that we are performing all of these elements of Krishna consciousness in order to keep our minds under control, bring them under control, keep them under control, but ultimately get away from both of those regulative practices and come to the stage where the mind is spontaneously attracted to Krishna, and that will come from purification of the heart. But that purification of the heart can't be imitated. It only comes when control of the mind has been effective, maximum benefit has been gained from spiritual activities, all impurities have been removed, and then naturally the mind is attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. And then when you sit during japa, then it's without distraction, no problem, non-stop bliss, 2 hours a day. And you wish that you could just keep on going all day. That is what we should be achieving. And if we're not, then certainly we need to look at these other aspects of our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.